points us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all kinds of rich benefit and blessing comes racing into our lives.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The worth of God's Word, and it's based on these final few verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The first half of 2 Timothy 3 really deals with the perils and the properties of apostasy. Paul talks about perilous times coming. And then he gives us the properties of those times in identifying the character of men who will regulate and control. In the latter half of 2 Timothy 3, Paul deals not so much with the subject of the perils and the properties of apostasy, but he deals with our protection against apostasy. And he says, in effect, that that protection comes as a result of the influence and the character of God's Word. It comes from the Scriptures. I think it's appropriate to say that we still live in an era of theological defection. Paul lived in an era of theological defection. All they that be of Asia had forsaken him. The great awakening had been followed by the great abandoning. There were theological deviates in Paul's day, much as there are in our day and age. We still live in an era of theological defection, and our greatest resource against that defection is the Word of God. Others do not have such a high view of God's Word as perhaps we would have. Liberals in our day deny the credibility of God's Word. They say it's unbelievable. You can't believe it. It's incredible. Neo-Orthodox theologians in our day deny the identity of God's Word. They would tell us that the Scriptures, the Word of God, may or may not be found in the Bible. You might be reading some other book and has some special existential zap from outer space, and that for you would be God's Word as it speaks to your heart. It may or may not be found in the Bible. Liberals deny the credibility of God's Word. Neo-Orthodoxy denies the identity of God's Word. It may or may not be in the Scriptures. Neo-Evangelicals, a whole new variety of so-called evangelicals, a new variety who deny the reliability of God's Word. They tell us that we must rethink such critical issues as our view of inspiration, our view of the authority and the authenticity of the Bible. They have a way of coughing up some real theological gems. Theological double talk is what I would call it. They speak on occasion of errant infallibility. We believe in an infallible Bible, but it has errors in it. They put that into print, errant infallibility. They speak of inspired errors. These are neo-evangelicals in our day. How are you and I to face that kind of defection? In the face of that kind of defection and confusion, liberals denying the Bible's credibility, neo-orthodoxy denying its identity, neo-evangelicals denying its reliability, certain parts of the Bible are not to be trusted. They say that the Bible infallibly leads a man to salvation, so we can believe those parts that deal with salvation, but those other parts we can't believe, history and science and so on. And I say that we take the whole of God's Word. Every bit of it is God's Word. In the face of that kind of defection and confusion, we must do what Paul told Timothy to do. You notice what he says there in verse 14? He says, "Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. Abide in the Scriptures." In other words, Paul says, and he would say it to us as well as to Timothy and the people of his day, in other words, reaffirm your loyalty to the Word of God. Declare your position in the midst of grave theological defection. Declare your position once again as a biblicist, one who adheres to the whole counsel of God's Word in all of its parts. We must echo clearly in our day and age an undiminished confidence in the absolute accuracy and authenticity and authority of Scripture. Let me suggest for a few moments that we ought to thank God for the unparalleled excellence of His Word. I hope you have a thankful spirit for the rich qualities of God's Word, the authoritative voice of God coming out to us from the pages of Scripture. We ought to thank God for the unparalleled excellence of His Word, and we ought to purpose to live by its precepts and obey what it says. And I want you to notice with me four powerful characteristics of Scripture that seem, in my mind, to emerge from this passage, particularly beginning in verse 15 down through verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are four powerful characteristics of Scripture. Number one, Paul says that the Scripture is sacred in its character, and he refers to the Bible as the Holy Scriptures. He could say quite literally that these are the sacred letters. By the use of that term, holy, from a child thou hast known, the Holy Scriptures, the sacred Scriptures. By the use of that term, Paul, I believe, would have us to understand that the Bible is a unique book. There's no book like this book, the Bible. It's different from all other volumes that have ever been authored in the history of humanity. And there are many evidences of its uniqueness or its sacredness. Let me list several for you very quickly here. There are many evidences of the sacred, unique character of the Bible. For example, in the Bible we find a remarkable unity, despite an amazing diversity or variety. There's a second evidence of its uniqueness, and that is that in the Bible we find a very sensible presentation of the supreme subjects occupying the minds of humanity. There's a third evidence. In the Bible, we find a prophetic preciseness. Finally, in the Bible, we find an unbelievable and indestructible persistence. The Bible persists against the attacks which have faced it, in spite of the perishable materials upon which it was originally written, and in spite of the assaults and the criticisms to which it has been subjected. The Bible remains intact. Number one, Paul says, very simply, this book is a sacred book. The Scripture is sacred in its character. It's the Holy Scriptures. But then secondly, he says, the Scripture is salvatory in its purpose or in its goal. Do you notice he refers to the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now what does that say to you? Now that phrase says two things to me, essentially. The first thing I see in that phrase is the power of the Scripture. It is able. The second thing I see is the product of the Scripture. It is able to make thee wise unto salvation. It provides for you a saving wisdom, which every man desperately needs. He needs the wisdom which will point him to the source of salvation. And he gives us that source right in that phrase, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible points us to place our faith in the Son of God, and that provides for us rich salvation. Saving wisdom induces us to place our faith in Christ Jesus. That's what that verse says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Have you ever thought of the great values of God's wisdom? You know, in the Scripture, God's wisdom is revealed. Have you ever thought of the great values of God's saving wisdom as it comes into your life? Let me list some of the values, some of the benefits that come into our lives through that saving wisdom revealed in Scripture. The Bible says that through God's saving wisdom, we are introduced to the life which only God can give. For example, for whoso findeth wisdom findeth life and shall obtain favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 35. There's a second benefit that comes from that saving wisdom which we can only find in the Scriptures, and that is we discover direction in our lives. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, fairness in difficult situations, yea, and every good path, when wisdom entereth into thy heart. Proverbs 2, verses 9 and 10. There's a third benefit that comes from the saving wisdom, which can only be found in the pages of Scripture, and that is that we are made able to discern the true character of others. The Scripture says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, the immoral woman, for many strong men have been slain by her. Proverbs 7, verse 5, and also verse 26. It gives us moral discernment. Do you know there's a fourth benefit from this saving wisdom that comes from the Word of God? And that is that we become creative planners. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Now that's Old English, Proverbs 8 and verse 12. And it means that wisdom provides the necessary resources to lay out wise and creative plans. It makes us creative planners. There's a fifth benefit that comes from saving wisdom, which can only be found in the pages of Scripture. And that is, through that saving wisdom, we gain true happiness. The Bible says, happy, or literally, how blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, the true joy comes from God's saving wisdom. There's another benefit that comes from wisdom, and that is that through it we secure true riches and honor. True riches and honor. The Bible says, for the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Proverbs 3, verses 14 and 15. There's another benefit that comes from the saving wisdom, and that is that we learn how to communicate God's truth effectively through wisdom. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. Or the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. He will attain unto wise counsels in the sense that he will develop the ability to give wise counsel. We learn to communicate God's truth effectively through wisdom. And then finally, through saving wisdom, we delight those who have a genuine concern for us. Through embracing God's wisdom and integrating it into our life, we delight those who have a genuine concern for us. My son, if thine heart be wise, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. Proverbs 23, verse 15. Not, my son, if you become wealthy. Not, my son, if you gain status in the world. Not, my son, if you become famous. No, but my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. A wise son maketh a glad father. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Proverbs 29 and verse 3. Through saving wisdom, we learn to delight those who have a genuine concern for us. There are many benefits, many blessings that come flowing into our lives. That's the product of God's powerful Scripture. He makes us wise unto salvation. He points us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all kinds of rich benefit and blessing comes racing into our lives when we receive Christ in this way. All of this is the product of Scripture. You see, the Scripture is not only sacred in its character, but it's salvatory in its goal. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you've experienced this mighty salvation, this message which is only revealed in the pages of God's Word. I hope you've responded to the message and been saved. I hope that progressively you're integrating the principles of God's Word into your life on a daily basis, so that this wisdom is gripping your spirit and making you all that God intended for you to be, so that you can enjoy the benefits and the blessings that God intended for you to have through your exposure to that saving wisdom.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
He gives himself to the good works to which Christ has called him, and he's equipped to fulfill those good works through the mighty resources of God's Word, which are committed to him.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.